This is Nathan Keenel on December 12, 2014, interviewing Myrna Segura about her experience in Southwest Detroit and working for the Southwest Detroit Business Association. So Myrna, we'll start with hopefully some easy questions. So first I want to know just a little bit about your early life. So where were you born? Where did you grow up? Mm-hmm. And what was your early life like?
I was born in Reynosa, Tamaulipas. Reynosa is a border town. Tamaulipas is the state in Mexico, the country. Tamaulipas is next to Texas. Reynosa is on the is a border town next to Hidalgo, Texas. So I grew up there. I have a happy childhood from a middle class household. I have a brother, and he's 1 year older than me. My parents moved to that city from another city in Tamaulipas, which is Madero, because of the work opportunities in Pemex, which is the oil company in Mexico. So I was very involved with sports. I think I was a good student. I played basketball. I was also a performer since I was a little child. We grew up going to the Mormon church. We were not Catholic, which was something different for us. I grew up in that religion.
And when you were growing up, did you have any aspirations of what you wanted to do? Whether you wanted to continue with basketball or performing or anything like that?
Yes, my mom was a person who was very involved with music and with children. She was very involved with different programs at church. And she had leadership positions. She was the president of the primary, which is the program that offers classes to the kids. So since I was a small kid, child, I was always attending those classes. And then she was the choir director. So she decided that we needed to learn, take piano classes, and we did. I like music, and I like dancing, and I wanted to be a performer. And my mom also was very into fashion. She was she studied when she was younger how to make patterns and how to sew and how to, you know, design somehow. And she was always creating dresses for herself and for me. So my love for fashion started with my mom. I guess my love for performing and somehow music was also because of my mom. So yeah, somehow I wanted to go into, I used to go to the stores with her to select the fabrics, and she was always paying attention to the quality of the fabric, the type of the fabric, like cotton, wool, of polyester, and she will touch those fabrics, and kind of she felt the love for those materials, and I learned to, I guess, to appreciate that, and she selected colors. So I got very involved since I was a child with her. And the first thing, I believe the first show that I produced is when I was a child. Maybe I was like 10 years old. I created like a fashion show for my dolls, and I got all my friends together, and they had to create some kind of outfit for their dolls, and we had a competition. I also put together like a cultural event where people had to bring all their costumes if they participated in different performance activities at school. Most of them were part of the folklore dance group. Mm-hmm. So we will have those performances also on our blog, and I will be leading those. So it's just so funny because I go back and think about it, and I'm here, and I kind of started doing that with the nonprofit organizations that I worked and work for in Southwest Detroit. So basically, I think everything started from seeing the love that my mom had for those things and those activities, and I think that's why I decided to go into communications and also at some point fashion design and merchandising.
Yeah, so you can kind of see the roots of what you're doing now all the way back then, right away, kind of coming from your mom too. Was she a big figure in the community as well then?
My mom was a big figure at church.
At church.
So it's a big community. So she was a leader, and I was telling her, because she is 80, she has been volunteering for that church for 50 years.
Wow.
As the choir director. Now she's not just the president of the group that works with the kids at the church, but also the regional director for that group. So mm-hmm. basically she manages, or she works with other people that go back to their branches mm-hmm. and, you know, offer the classes to the kids. So she has always been a leader. She's not being paid to do that.
Right.
But I think by watching, I learned how it was possible to become also a leader in my community, or how I could, you know, do good things for the people around me. She also is a animal lover. I'm sorry, and mm-hmm. I'm an animal lover too. I do a lot of rescuing. I rescue cats and dogs. I have been doing that for over 10 years.
Wow.
So yeah, I guess it's very important the how you grow in your family circle, and what is the support that you receive, and what is the education, not just by going to school or going to church or your parents talking to you, but also by observing what they do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So from there, I noticed in your bio, so you ended up going to university for, you said, communications and fashion design as well. And where was that at?
I went to the Universidad de Nuevo León
mm-hmm.
In Mexico. It's in Monterrey. It's an industrial city. It's one of the most important cities in Mexico. And I first went to another city, which is Madero, where my mom is from. I was there for 1 year, and then I decided to move to Monterrey to transfer to the other university. And the reason I decided to study communications is because it was the closest I could find to continue in that world of, you know, performing.
Right.
Somehow, because I was not going to go to Mexico City and become an actress or mm-hmm. Do something similar. I had to get a degree and get a job. So that was the most appropriate career for me, is what I thought. I did think about fashion design and merchandising, but especially fashion design, but I didn't know if there was a school in Monterrey, and then I found one, and I was doing both at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't even think about it when I first saw the school. I talked to my parents and I told them I really want to go and, you know, study fashion design.
Mm-hmm. Did you continue to kind of do these same activities that you were doing as a child when you were at university as well?
I was also very involved with sports. Mm-hmm. I was a basketball player and I was very good. I continue doing that when I was in school. I was in the dance group, folklore dance group. And my mom saw all my costumes since I was a child.
Uh-huh.
She did. And I still have some of those.
Oh, wow.
And I also was part of the basketball team. I was what you call right wing, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I was very good. I was part of the main team. And when I went to college, I wanted to continue doing that. It's just that I was, Monterrey is a large city, and my parents couldn't buy me a car. So I couldn't move very easily around. And I was living not really close to college, so I had to go take a couple of buses to go to school. So, and basically they didn't have a program in place. They did have a basketball team, which I tried to join, but then I decided just not to do it because of the difficulties for me to, you know, to have to go to training. So I just decided to focus on my studies and then also going to the fashion design and merchandising school. Mm-hmm.
And then, just to clarify, what year did you start college? Do you remember?
I want to remember. Let me go back to my resume.
Okay.
In 1984.
And then, do you remember when you graduated?
Yes. It's 1987.
Okay.
And the other one was 1986.
All right. Thank you. And then after that, from university, what was your next step in life?
Well, basically in Mexico, it's so funny. Because things are changing now. But I was not... my parents were not expecting me to get a job when I was going to college.
Mm-hmm.
They were just paying for my, you know, tuition and for my rent and also giving me the money to pay for my food.
Right.
So, which is very traditional, I think, mostly because I am a woman and also... They do it with boys, especially when they can afford that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's changing, and I hope it's changing because it's very different to what happened to college students in the United States. I think it's very important that they start looking for jobs and working when they are studying. It's just that I guess the pay at this per hour in Mexico is different, so
mm-hmm.
probably sometimes it's not worth it to have to spend all that time working instead of studying.
Yeah, while trying to study.
Correct.
At the same
mm-hmm.
time, sure.
So at some point my mom told me, I think I was 21 or 22, and she said, Mirna, if you want to stay in Monterrey, you have to find a job because we won't be able to send you any more money.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't be able to take care of your expenses. And I think about it, and I think it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was great because it pushed me to go out because I wanted to stay in Monterrey. I have a lot of friends and, you know, I was young. I was going out and we were having fun. So I wanted to stay there. And Reynosa is a small town. I didn't want to go back to Reynosa at that point. So I started looking for a job as a fashion designer, and I went to a manufacturing company. They do uniforms for different companies. They have, you know, it's a large city. So
mm-hmm.
They have these companies that provide the uniforms for banks, for maybe hospitals. And they have people doing the design and the pattern making. So I went there, they reviewed my resume, and I just graduated. So they told me, come back when you have more experience. So then after that interview, I went to see one of my friends. You know, we used to hang out at a place called Coco Loco.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to play a lot of, it was rock, alternative rock music. And you will see there very creative people coming from all social levels.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very good experience. I met very interesting people. And one of those people was Marcelo Rios. He was the owner of a boutique and a small workshop in Monterrey. His parents are wealthy, and they own a couple of buildings in what is called the historic area in Monterrey, and the center, or it would be midtown of Monterrey.
Okay.
So he used one of those spaces to open this boutique, and he was designing. He had a person designing who went to the same school that I went to, but she was coming to the United States to study English, and he was looking for another designer. So when I went there, he said, well, I can hire you. So I got hired to do fashion design, and I started working for him then.
That's a good turn of events.
It was a good turn of events. He was a very well-known person. The only thing is my designs were not, whatever I designed, of course they didn't print my name. But because I was working for him, and
right,
he was the head designer for the company. It was his company. So, but it was a great experience. I learned that he didn't ask me to change any of my designs, to revise them like he did with the former designer. And some of those designs were in Vogue Mexico, the magazine. So it was great.
Cool. And do you remember when you started there? I was trying to look through here.
I don't think I used to have a longer resume. That's not part of this resume. But it had to be around 1987, yes.
So just shortly after you...
Yeah, I graduated, yes. Mm-hmm. Between 87 and 88. So it was great. I had a lot of fun, and I was... it was a very creative time in my life, and I really liked it. I also learned how competitive and how materialistic that, field can be.
Right, so it's kind of first job experience in the field, and so you're learning kind of the things that aren't maybe told right away.
Correct, you had to work with models and, people have to look good, and people have egos. And I know that you deal with those things in any type of work, but
sure,
in that industry is a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was in Mexico, just because the social level of my boss, they were very wealthy, and the many contacts that he had, and the many people that came to our store, not just looking to buy, but looking to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other designers trying to compete with us. And it's just, it's a different experience. And I was glad that I learned and I saw what it was about. Not that I didn't like it. I enjoy doing designing. I didn't enjoy the other part where,
right,
it made me feel that maybe that was not going to leave a print, that it was not going to be that important, even if I know that fashion is important and it makes a big impact.
Right.
But I think as a young person, I was growing and I was thinking, what else can I do,
mm-hmm,
that really is going to help the people around me?
Sure, sure. Do you remember how long you stayed there then, and then when you ended up moving on?
I think I stayed there for a couple of years, maybe 2-3 years. I came back to my parents' town a couple of times. I went back and forth, and the only word that I could find there was with the manufacturing, U.S. manufacturing mm-hmm. companies, the maquiladoras, and well, the good jobs that I could find. So because of my background with communications and fashion design, I became a supervisor, production supervisor for Converse.
Oh, okay.
They were manufacturing the canvas tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. I was supervising between 25 and 40 people at some point, and I was in my middle 20s. And then I was production supervisor for TRW. They were manufacturing the safety belts, and another company that was manufacturing the Victoria's Secret bras. So that was the best experience I had. I had to work with people in production. In Mexico, they get paid a minimum, the people in line. I believe they were being paid $50 per week. Hmm. So these people are really not in a very good economic position.
Mm-hmm.
And then back in my mama, I always thought, okay, I know these are U.S. manufacturing companies. I know the minimum salary in Mexico is different. And I know they come to Mexico because they have the opportunity to find the inexpensive labor. But what can they offer more to those people in line? And so right. I was always very conscious about it, and I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was painful for me to see how little they were making, and they will have to select or choose between buying a small house or buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
So even a used car. And many of them, they didn't have a mode of transportation. They had to take the bus, or
right.
they had to take the peseras, which is the the little SUVs, you know,
oh, yeah,
that
sure.
they have in Mexico, or they had at that time. So it was a great experience because people were tough,
mm-hmm.
And I was young, and I was constantly tested. So after that, everything became very easy for me.
Interesting. So these two experiences, I think, then shaped you quite a bit then, because you were able to deal with the competitive fashion industry, and then you came into management and had to deal with these other issues too. And
correct. Yeah. And then they were, I worked with different people and from different social
right.
levels when
right.
I was in fashion design, and then I was working for these manufacturing companies.
Almost
the
a
people
reverse.
I was supervising were low income
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
and I fell for them. And mm-hmm. even had a couple of friends that people that were close to me, so I felt I saw the difference,
right?
You know, that exists out there.
Was that something that you were aware of growing up as well?
No, my mom.
Oh, no, okay.
My mom was very good at administrating my father's money. You know,
okay.
his check. And now that she kept the money, but you know, she will get, you know, whatever she needed to mm-hmm. take care of the expenses at home. She was very good at budgeting, so I never felt that we needed something and we could not get it
mm-hmm.
because our needs were always satisfied. So I didn't realize that until I went out.
Okay.
You know, I knew there were people that had, you know,
right.
you know, more money than us and rich people,
mm-hmm.
but I never experienced, and I never saw it, you know, and never had a relationship with those people. And now when I left home and I went to college, I was able to, you know, have friends from different social levels and,
mm-hmm.
you know, see how they lived and compare. So I realized, you know, how different or how different the world is for different people.
Mm-hmm. Did that kind of shape your experience then to, so from there, where did you go and were you looking for opportunities to maybe make a difference on those different levels of inequality, or did that shape the job experiences you were looking for, or the things you wanted to do with your life after those jobs?
There was a period where I was trying to find out where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So for some time I went to Cancun. I was living in Cancun. I had a couple of friends there and I was doing sales. And Cancun again is more like a, for those who come from outside, for outsiders who just go and try to look for a job in the touristy area, mm-hmm. is more like a party town.
Right.
So people go and leave. So I went there and I realized this is not the place I want to be. I enjoyed being there for a couple of years with my friends, and you know, doing the sales work was fine. It was not what I wanted to do, and but I wanted to see places. I always wanted to travel, and I did that a lot later,
mm-hmm.
in life. So that was I did that for a couple of years, and I went back to my parents' town. Because I basically wanted to, what I decided is that I couldn't stay there because I didn't think that that was the city for me, and because I wanted to go to other places where I could expand my learning experience, and I could also be able to experiment the culture in the diversity, mm-hmm. and I don't think that was happening in Cancun. So the reason I went back to my parents' house was to prepare in order to come to the United States, because my aunt, my father's half sister, was living here in Southwest Detroit. And I went to the University of Texas a couple of years before to study English, but I was coming back home every day, so I was not practicing.
Mm.
So I knew as a production supervisor, in order for me to move to a different department, I had to improve my English. So the goal was to come and study English in the United States, in Detroit, mm-hmm. living with my aunt, but I also wanted to see if there were any opportunities for me.
Interesting. Do you remember roughly when that was?
1996.
1996. So you moved to Detroit in 1996.
Correct.
And then did you live with your aunt then, or?
I was living with my aunt. Mm-hmm. My aunt was around 80 at that time, and she was very nice. She basically paid for my ticket.
Oh, cool.
And I had savings. I came to Detroit with $2,000 in a suitcase.
Wow.
Yes. So, and I'm always being very practical and very conscious about my expenses. So I was very concerned about spending my money and not getting, you know, not having a source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And I was learning English. I went to the, it's the International Institute, because they offer a program, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where I started. And there was, it was very nice area. I love it. I love that because it was the DIA, it was the CCS.
Yeah,
because
that's right across the street almost,
correct.
Isn't it? Yes.
Correct. So then there was a restaurant called Capis.
Mm-hmm.
And I went one day just to get something to eat. And they had a big sign. They were looking for help. And I saw the waitresses. They were going crazy. And I'm like, should I apply? And I did.
Yeah.
I did. And I thought, okay, right now I'm studying English. I cannot really, you know, get a job because I had a student. No, I had a tourist visa at that point.
Okay.
So they called me the next day.
It seems like it would be a good job, though, to practice English, because you would be...
Yeah, basically, exactly. I want to see it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And probably I should have waited in order for me to officially start working. But again, I want to make sure that I had an income.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided to go to the Wayne State University to the ESL program. So I think that was in 1997. By then, I have already met my now ex-husband. And so when I went back to Mexico, I got a visa as a student visa. I came back and I went to Wayne State. I was there for one semester and I was studying English and I passed my TOEFL. So, and then in 1997, on August, we got married. So basically after that, I started looking for a job, for a formal job. Mm-hmm. And the people at Capi's, the customers, they were very nice. They were, again, they were coming from the DIA. They were artists coming from CCS. People thought I was an artist. Well, I was a designer. I was not designing at that point. I wanted to do that, but I also wanted to know if I could do something else. So I was referred to the director, to the president of the Mexican Town Community Development Corporation. And that's where I first started working for a nonprofit. And the president of the organization looked at my resume and my background, and she really liked it. Because at that point, the office manager and administrative assistant got sick, so she was going to be out for 1 month, and they had to start planning the Cinco de Mayo celebration. So the president really needed the help, and you know, with my background being bilingual and originally from Mexico, I thought she thought I was a good fit for the position. Sure. So I started working as the administrative assistant and marketing assistant for MCDC, Mexican Town Community Development Corporation. Mm-hmm. So the first, what I was doing the first year is organizing cultural events. The Cinco de Mayo attracted over 20,000 people to the area. So I was doing, I was planning, coordinating the events, implementing the events. We also had a business incubator during those events. So we were recruiting the vendors for the events. So I was in charge of basically all the planning and implementation and recruiting, also not just the vendors, but also the entertainment. So it was Cinco de Mayo. And then we had Summer Mercado. We started with 8 events during the summer. It was every Sunday, and it was from 12 to 6, 7, but I had to be there since like 8 in the morning. And then we did the Day of the Dead, which is Dia de Muertos. So that basically was what I did. I was an independent contractor. At that point, I was offered a job by somebody who I met through my work with MCDC to work with a logistic organization, a company in Livonia. I really didn't like it. That's not what I wanted to do. It kind of reminded me of the manufacturing companies somehow. So I went back and to MCDC, and they gave me a full-time job. Hired me. They hired me, and then I became the marketing manager.
Right.
And continue organizing those events and promoting the events. You know, my resume kind of tells you how much, you know, it was done during that time.
Yeah, and I'll make a note.
Okay.
When I transcribe this as well. When you were with the Mexican Town Community Development, is there anything that stands out in your memory as like, That was the memory of my time there. This was my favorite part of being there, or the most interesting thing that happened.
Yeah, it's very funny. Nice funny, because when I came to the United States, my goal was to improve my English, and I was not sure if I was going to be able to stay or I had to go back. But my mom knew that I wanted to experience living here mm-hmm. in the United States and the culture of the United States. So when I told her what I was doing for Mexicantown CDC, she smiled because she's like, Mirna, you left Mexico and basically now you getting immersed in your culture again. Right. And I think what I remember and stay with me is that I learned to appreciate mm-hmm. my culture more when I was here than when I was in Mexico, right. I think, because of the work that I was doing for Mexicantown CDC, promoting these events, promoting the culture, promoting our vendors, promoting our performers, and bringing people from outside Southwest Detroit. We had people coming from the area, but we had a lot of visitors. So coming to see these events because they wanted to learn about our culture, mm-hmm. About the Mexican culture, and they probably, some of them couldn't go to Mexico, so they will come right. here and experience that. So that's one of my really good memories about working for Mexicantown Community Development Corporation is the fact that I learned to appreciate my culture mm-hmm. More than I did before. I got to work with my people from different social levels. I got kind of protective of them too. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that they were given the opportunities they needed. And we also, with that organization, had the goal to have those events and the opportunities for the vendors to come and sell their merchandise every week to make it permanently.
Right.
Or permanent.
Right.
And that's why we had those two projects, the Welcome Center and the Mexicantown Mercado, where the main goal was to have transfer those vendors into that, into those spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think basically that is what, you know, stay with me. I also manage the entrepreneurial program, so we offer workshops for people who wanted to start a business or mm-hmm. people who wanted to expand a business. And something that it has been very valuable is the fact that we were able to offer those in Spanish and English, and I was offering the small business technical assistance in both languages. And many of the people in the area and coming from other area who are immigrants from Mexico or other Hispanic countries, sometimes they don't feel comfortable going to these trainings when they are offered in English, or going out of the area to get the advice from another organization in order to improve their business, because they feel more comfortable speaking Spanish. So basically, we designed the program in order to attract those entrepreneurs and mm-hmm. offer the tools that they needed to take advantage of the opportunities that are being offered in the United States and that many of them are not aware of.
Right. Well, I think that's the most interesting thing I was looking at with STBA and then kind of doing a little bit background research on MCDC is that it's kind of twofold in that you're supporting local communities, you're supporting and kind of offering these opportunities that wouldn't be there otherwise, but then you're also going outside and drawing people into the culture, into the neighborhood. So it's kind of this two-pronged approach of bringing people in, but also making sure that the people
Correct.
That are here are getting the support that they need.
But you need to offer the support to the businesses and the community in the area. So one of the programs that I manage with MCDC and that I continue manage with Southwest Detroit Business Association is the facade program.
Mm-hmm.
So you offer, it's facade improvement program. You offer incentives to the property and business owners in order to renovate their storefronts.
Right.
Because you want them to look more attractive, mm-hmm. and you want them to look safe. Mm-hmm. So people coming from outside, you want them to continue coming and shopping. So that's the reason you do the cultural events. It's not just because you want to offer the entertainment. You bring in those people to the area, and then you promote the commercial district, like with the Day of the Dead brochure or the Cinco de Mayo brochure. You have a list of the different events that are happening, but the main goal is to also have a list of all the businesses, the restaurants, so mm-hmm. they can go and visit. They can go shop, they can go to the supermarket, they can go to the restaurants and have lunch, have mm-hmm. dinner, and they can see that it's safe to come to right. this area.
And then they'll just keep coming back. And
they will keep coming back, yes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of negative... messaging going mm-hmm. on about Detroit, the whole city. But I have been here working in this area for 15 years, yes. I have never had an issue, and I know other people, you know, experiment different mm-hmm. situations. But this is a large city, one of the large... a large city like many of other large cities in the United States. So those things happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, the city of Detroit was going through some issues where some things could not be addressed in time like you or they do in suburban cities. But they have very important things to take care of. So mm-hmm. that's why it is very important for nonprofit organizations doing economic and community development to address these issues, and that's mm-hmm. what we do. When we do the facade improvement program, when we do the graffiti removal, that's part of what the Business Improvement District does. It's a program that was initiated by the Southwest Detroit Business Association. We had a voluntary Business Improvement District in Mexicantown too, where the businesses were paying a fee in order to remove graffiti, in mm-hmm. order to take care of the trash, in order to have the trash cans, remove the trash bags. So all of that creates an impact mm-hmm. of security, not just for the residents, but also for the visitors. So right. it becomes a very active commercial district, and is a message of safety, mm-hmm. you know, for those visitors and people living here.
Right. And I think, I mean, the perspective of Detroit from people living outside of Detroit is so different than it is from people who actually live here and see it every day. So I think it's important to, you know, to have that perspective that you're talking about, that, you know, what's happening here? What does this area actually look like? What do we actually offer? As opposed to these really negative stories that you see from, you know, these national news or national media.
Yes, and things happen, and that's why mm-hmm. you had to be able to plan an event with enough time and have everything in place, like security, to mm-hmm. make sure that everything is going to be okay for everybody. But, you know, with the Day of the Dead ofrendas event that we have, we offer tours to the schools. We have, like, 24 schools coming, and then they come on their own too. Hmm. They bring their students and they walk, you know, they go to the different stores and churches to go see the ofrendas, which are the altars dedicated mm-hmm. to those who pass away.
Right.
And then we have the Run of the Dead, and people come from, many of the people who come are suburban people and then residents, and they run, and it's on Patton Park, it's on the west side of West Vernor. They go through different streets, Woodmere, and then come back. So they feel very comfortable. Mm-hmm. So, and we have to continue doing this. We have to constantly be working about addressing issues. And sometimes it has been difficult for the city to address code issues, which are very important mm-hmm. too, for talking about the design, talking about fashion design, my background. That's right. why I think I like doing running the facade improvement program, mm-hmm. and I think I'm good at it because I have that design background, but I also have my cultural background, and I'm bilingual, so I I relate to our business and property owners, and
right.
they feel very comfortable talking to me because I'm one of them,
mm-hmm.
somehow.
Mm-hmm. So what ended up bringing you to Southwest Detroit Business Association then from the Mexican Town group?
Mexican Town Community Development Corporation had to close its doors in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened around 2008, around March. So there was an opportunity here with Southwest Detroit Business Association. They were just waiting for the funding to mm-hmm. cover my position. I had a couple of interviews. When I was the marketing manager for MCDC, I then became the Main Street program director. It was part of the revitalization program with the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a program of the mayor's office. This is a national movement. It's the National Main Street Center, and they have 4 points of approach. It is promotion, which you promote the area and
mm-hmm.
do events and raise funds for the organization. It's organization. Is economic restructuring, is design, the facade, you know, improvements. And then the city of Detroit also added the clean and safe element.
Right.
So I became the director of that program in 2003, from 2003 to 2007, because later I became the business incubator for the Mexican Town Mercado. So I went to trainings offered by the National Main Street Center and by the LISC Urban Forum, and I really loved the program. Mm-hmm. I really loved the program. So when I came to work here,
when you came to work here and I guess what you first started off doing while you were
okay,
here.
When I came here, basically the people at SDBA knew my work
mm-hmm.
because Mexican Town, it came out of SDBA.
Right.
Yeah, no, when SDBA was organizing events in Mexican Town in that area,
mm-hmm.
in the Harbor Farms, then that was the reason to create a different organization to focus on that
right.
specific area of Southwest Detroit, especially because the issue with the Ambassador Bridge and the fact that they were buying property on the commercial district with the idea of creating parking lots for their trucks.
Okay.
So the community didn't want that.
Right.
So it was necessary that another group went to the east side
mm-hmm.
and took care of those businesses and continued doing the promotion of the district and creating the events and the assistance and support to the businesses in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, I came with a background. My background as the director of the director of the Main Street program for Mexican Town, and also as the program manager for the facade improvement program. So they were looking for somebody to take over that position
mm-hmm.
here.
So a lot of the same responsibilities or goals that you had kind of just transferred
correct.
Over.
Correct.
Interesting. I guess what are some of the accomplishments you can talk about while you've been here, I guess in the last maybe, because you started here in 2008, is
mm-hmm,
that correct?
Correct, November.
So you've been here around 6 or 7 years almost. In that time, what have you seen or what have you done that you would remember that, you know, these are the things that mattered the most to you in that time period?
Sure. The facade program is something that I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I love to work with the business and property owners. The grants are offered to the property owners or the business owners who can be the tenants.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a facade matching grant up to $15,000, which means they had to match it.
Right.
So you have to at least spend $20,000, and we also offer the mini grants. Those were $2,000 per address. So you can have a building like the one across the street, State Farm. Mm-hmm. They have 4 storefronts. So it's $2,000 for each storefront. So they got $8,000 and mini grants. And then we decided to also continue offering mini grants with a, just having a cap of $10,000, but without offering a minimum per address. We decided to see what the need was for a specific applicant building. Mm-hmm. So that, I am very proud of that program. I really think that we are doing a good job, and I have worked with different architects, and I have been lucky to have created good relationships with the specific architects that also understand the area. And everything started with the ONCR program, which is the Office of Neighborhood Commercial Revitalization for the City of Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's the Main Street program they started in 2002.
Right.
So they were offering the matching grants. So they selected, they recruited a list of a group of architectural firms that were going to be offering the architectural assistance for these projects. Mm-hmm. So also their fees had to be capped. So for small jobs, they had to be paid up to certain amount. For large jobs, they had to be paid up to certain amount.
Right.
Even if they were accustomed to charge more working for other clients, because this was revitalization work done for these communities, mm-hmm. they knew that, you know, they probably had to charge less.
Right.
So that's where I met a couple of the architectural firms that are doing great work around the city, like Steven C. Flam, mm-hmm. and I brought those contacts with me when I came to work for Southwest Detroit Business Association. So basically, when I was with Mexican Town, we completed, I believe, let me see, we renovated 11 local storefronts. And the public and private investment was around $500,000.
Wow.
Which, you know, creates a big impact in that community.
Yeah.
And then what we have been doing here with the facade program since I started, we have renovated 8 facade storefronts, mm-hmm. large projects. And then we did 14 as part of the Small Facade Improvement Program. And right now, we have 10 projects that are going to start construction soon. So these projects, the Facade Improvement Program, doesn't just create a visual impact. It also creates jobs. It retains jobs and create businesses. So since I started working here, 96 temporary jobs have been created, mm-hmm. 10 full-time, part-time jobs have been created, 5 new businesses have been created, 5 businesses have been retained, and 12 jobs have been retained.
Wow.
The way that we track this is you probably have a property owner who has a vacant building, and he's mm-hmm. not able to rent that building, and he needs to fix the building, so but he needs the support, and he needs not just the financial support, he needs the technical support. We offer a lot of one-on-one mentoring, technical support with the licensing process, with the permitting process, with getting the contractors for the work to be done, the construction bids. So it's a lot going on, and you establish a relationship with each one of the applicants from beginning to end. Sometimes it feels too much for them to just do it on their own.
Right.
Sometimes they also want the financial assistance, but if you leverage the private investment, we had a project which is the Buena Vida building. They got $15,000, a matching grant.
Wow.
The total cost of the project was around $60,000-$70,000, and then he also renovated the interior of the building, and now he has a new tenant, and she has been there for a long time. So that was the main goal, to be able for him to attract a new tenant, which means that place was empty. So you created a new business, and also that business owner has hired two people. So, and herself and her husband. So you create the jobs.
Right. That's interesting.
Yes. So that's something that some people, that you have to somehow word it out. You have to talk about it. You have to track all of the outcomes and outputs of the projects that you have in order to demonstrate the impact that is economic impact that is, you know, bringing into the community and into the city of Detroit. And basically that's what we have to do with the funders, you know. And but I love to do that. I love to be able to help these businesses to stay in business.
Right.
And also the property owners to get new tenants, and the business owners to attract, you know, new employees or to retain their employees, because the way your business looks has to do a lot with the people that you are going to attract into your store.
That's I think that's really fascinating, because I think you're talking about like the human component behind it, because I think people look at grant money and you just see the money and you see it going somewhere, but you don't. There's all this underlying issues of how it's spent and what it means and who's actually getting the money and where that's going.
Yeah. Right now with this program that we are running this year for the facade program, we decided that we wanted to report not just the before and after photos. We wanted to talk to the applicants because it has been very emotional for them. You go and they talk to you about, I needed this for so long, but I didn't know who could help me, or I didn't want to ask for help, and I don't know how to do it. I'm so grateful that you are doing this for us. And also, again, the fact that I am able to communicate in Spanish with those applicants, that even when they speak English, and even it could be little English, they feel more comfortable speaking Spanish. So I'm happy and proud of helping everybody, but somehow I become a little nationalist. Is that correct? Can you say that? No.
Well,
is that appropriate? No.
In the sense that you feel kind of protective towards the Spanish speaking population.
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm needed here. I'm not saying that I'm the only person that can do this work, but I'm needed here because of my cultural background and because I'm bilingual. So I can understand how the immigrants feel, not just the Mexicans, the Hispanics, but also the people from the Middle East, because we have many of them here, you know, they have businesses. So just the fact that they come from another country and, you know, they started a life here, or they came here as children or as adults, and now they are trying to adapt to this culture.
Right.
I'm doing the same.
Yeah.
So I know how to communicate with them and establish their relationships. So that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that cultural mediator, and then also, you know, having your experience, other people that come in and want, you know, they may want to help various neighborhoods or various people, but if they don't know how to communicate or they don't know how to empathize with the situation, then it's not going to be as good of a result. then.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the skills that I have that I am able to use in my work every day. Something that also has created a big impact and that has not just created a big impact, you know, talking about the work that we do as a nonprofit in this commercial district, but for me as a person, is offering the small business technical assistance almost every day. People come and they call, they email us, and we have, again, a lot of Spanish-speaking people coming and asking, what do I need to do to start a business?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do to get a loan? And I need to get this permit, and I don't know how to do it. I need this license, but it has been very difficult. So just making sure that we have the tools, that we offer the tools, that we collaborate with other, mm-hmm. you know, institutions that are also do business development and that offer the technical assistance. We offer referral services. So just to make sure that we are here and offer those tools to the people coming to us has created a big difference,
mm-hmm.
especially for the Spanish-speaking entrepreneurs mm-hmm. and business owners, who, again, it's kind of difficult for them sometimes to go and try to start a process with the city just because they may feel they cannot communicate what they need. They have to bring somebody to translate what
right.
they, you know, they need to explain to that specific person they need to talk to. And sometimes it's also the fact that because what the city was going through is the lack of capacity that they
mm-hmm.
have to offer the support to this specific group.
Right.
But we offer the assistance in English and Spanish. I know I am talking a lot about, you know, those Spanish-speaking and Hispanic people, and I guess you can tell that probably that's what I'm proud of,
mm-hmm.
more proud of, being able to help my people and the people in the city of Detroit.
Right. Well, I think you relate to that more, probably, having come here and needing to learn English, and then, you know, your own experience. I think that makes sense to that, you know that situation probably a little bit better mm-hmm. than maybe other people do. So I find that really interesting. When you first arrived, we'll kind of talk bigger picture here. So when you first arrived to now, what do you see having changed in Southwest Detroit? Whether it's specifically Mexican Town or whether it's the city of Detroit as a whole, what were your experiences when you first arrived? And do you see kind of progress or development over the time you've been here? Or
when I first came to Detroit, I was living with my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt lived here for years. I didn't know the city. I didn't know the area. I was new. So my aunt was very disappointed
mm-hmm.
about what was happening. I guess she saw a lot of blight,
mm-hmm.
a lot of crime. That was her perception. And graffiti and vacant spaces, according to the way that she explained that to me. And then when I started working for Mexican Town CDC and its and Southwest Detroit Business Association, I saw how the community, the business community, the residents, the stakeholders, which are the nonprofit organizations working in the area to improve the residential, you know, and commercial districts, how much work they were doing to transform and to bring back what older people remember about Southwest Detroit. Because the way my aunt painted. It was beautiful, and we had these things, and we now have gangs and people doing drugs and doing this. So she was looking at the negative part of, you know, Southwest Detroit, because I think she was sad about what was happening, and mm-hmm. I don't think she had the tools to do anything about it. And she was 80 already.
Right.
So I have seen the change of the work that has been done by these two nonprofits, and then we have also Southwest Solutions, and we have UNI, and we have LACER. So I have seen a lot of buildings that are having improved, a lot of houses, you know, that have been repaired, mm-hmm. and new houses that have been built. And I see businesses are constantly coming, looking for space in Southwest Detroit. Property owners are investing. People, organizations are taking off graffiti removal. You have big companies in the area like Ideal Group, who is very active, the owner in the community, and they create cleanups. Mm-hmm. They partner with automotive companies, and they bring volunteers to do cleanups. They do cleanups a couple of times per year. So we have, you know, we didn't have the lighting, the lights, the light poles were not working. So we have the new lighting and the new streetscape on the West Vernor. From Woodmere to Clark is one of the projects of the SCBA. As mm-hmm. part of Mexican Town, they also created a new sidewalk mm-hmm. or streetscape, and they also had the Welcome Center building and the Mexican Town Mercado building. Again, they took care of a lot of blight and graffiti, and they. SDBA is also constantly on top about safety concerns. With the Business Improvement District, they have a patrol group that comes at specific days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what is important for this area is to continue maintaining the area, improving what we have in order to attract new residents and new businesses. Some Hispanic residents are moving to cities like Melvindale, Lincoln Park, for different reasons. One of those reasons was safety. So we are very focused on working on that, so that perception changes. The facade program is a tool to change that perception.
Right.
And also, I think that the area is improving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the benefits that the business community and the residents are getting from the work that the many nonprofit organizations are doing is of benefit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Something I think that also is changing, because Corktown has become very successful mm-hmm. as a business district. They are expanding to the Mexican Town Harbor Farms area,
right?
Which it could be, it is a good sign,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a concern for some residents. And I'm not sure if the business owners are aware.
Mm-hmm.
Business owners want to see new businesses. They don't want to see vacant buildings. So that's good. But I think that this area has a specific brand, and that's why we attract people from Canada, from Ohio, from other areas of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
because it's a destination place. So I think we need to make sure that we take care of that brand
mm-hmm.
because many of the businesses, especially the restaurants, are Mexican. So the commercial district is known on the east of West Vernor in Bagley as Mexican Town. This area on West Vernor is Southwest Detroit. So as long as we keep that brand, you know, I think that will be okay. It could be a mix of buildings, but mm-hmm. we also have to respect what we have here. I have seen that there's a lot of publicity done for new businesses, especially by young people, and the lack of attention that many of our businesses get for the media because maybe they are not that sexy.
Right.
But many of these businesses came here, were created by young people. I know a couple of the business owners, restaurant owners, they are young people who came, maybe were working for another restaurant and decided they wanted to open a business, like Nuestra Familia.
Mm-hmm.
He decided he was going to buy a building. He bought the building. He started a restaurant and he employs maybe around 20 people.
Wow.
So that's a great story.
Yeah.
But it's not on the media. So we mm-hmm. had to promote those businesses. But that is why what I think we are going, these business owners that exist, they want to expand. They participate in our programs. They want to, you know, volunteer. They want to donate. And they want to be part of the change. So I think that if we continue the work that we are doing here, this is it's already one of the most vibrant commercial districts in the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very pedestrian friendly. You don't see many commercial districts like this
right.
in Detroit. And also, it is the only area that increased, you know, its population according to the census of 2010. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes. So I think that we're taking the right direction. There are issues that have to be taken care of. And the way that this is done is through communication. We had a meeting with the residents and business owners of Mexican Town in Corktown, because there was an issue that was created around a mural and some graffiti last year,
mm-hmm.
and it was a good outcome. So as long as those type of meetings exist and the communication exists between the different districts, neighborly districts,
mm-hmm.
I think everything is going to be okay. But we also had to welcome new businesses. We have to
right.
welcome new residents. And we have a lot of young people
mm-hmm.
moving, millennials, to Southwest Detroit. And mostly Caucasian.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So it's changing.
Yeah.
But as long as we have the respect for what we had here before
mm-hmm.
and what exists as part of the commercial district, I think we're going to be fine.
Well, I think that goes back to the balance we were talking about earlier of you want to bring in new people, but you still want to retain what's here and, you know, who is the people that have actually brought this neighborhood to where it is now.
Diversity is good.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you want to bring new people. And that's how it goes. People come and then go.
Mm-hmm.
The Hispanics came here because people were leaving, right? The area. So
mm-hmm.
they took the opportunity. They decided this is a place where I can buy a house, where I can live and,
right.
and you know, have my family, send them to schools, the churches that were here. They are very religious, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have, there is this opportunity for younger people, professionals to come and buy a house for a good price in Southwest Detroit. So the people left. They
mm-hmm.
are coming.
The process just continues.
It's a process. But
yeah.
as long as you have the respect for what exactly made this district, commercial district, a destination point, I think we're going to be fine.
Hmm.
And you can mix the businesses. I was in Portland, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and I was in downtown. I forgot the name of the two main business districts. It's many millennials living in there. And
sure.
it's... probably there was some gentrification. People mm-hmm. here are worried about gentrification too. But it was amazing. And it was great for me to see a couple of Mexican restaurants. And they were targeting those specific customers because of the decoration
mm-hmm.
of the restaurant. And the food was very authentic. But the way that they were serving the food, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. So there is a place for everybody.
Interesting.
And I was very happy to see that they had a place for these businesses. There was this Mexican restaurant, then there was another one that was a little more like a bar, and they had music, and they had, I think, like more like a taqueria, but mm-hmm. a cool one. And then you have another one that was offering vegetarian food and gluten-free food. It was a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
And then you have the Cuban.
For the Portland crowd.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. So you can do that.
Yeah.
Basically, they are there and they are...
That's kind of the
they
vision.
They are adapting to what they have there already.
Right.
So that will be something that we can do here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I like that idea.
Yeah.
So I guess while I'll let you... Is there anything else that you want to address? Otherwise, the last question I have for you is, so while all this is happening, and you know, where do you see your place in the future of this neighborhood? Or do you see yourself broadening horizons again? Or where are you heading?
Yeah, that's a great question. We didn't talk about the atrium.
Yes.
The atrium project space was created to... First, to use a nice space that we have downstairs,
mm-hmm.
because basically that's placemaking.
It's a great building.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And we were using that space just to storage things.
Oh, really?
Really. And, yeah. You know, we had like a little wall and we were storing stuff that we were using for different events. And our president wanted to clean that area. And I'm like, well, and I'm looking at the building and the space, and I'm like, we can have art exhibits here. So we started doing that, I think back in, don't remember, 2010 maybe. And basically we were promoting the cultural Southwest Detroit and local artists. And we started with Joe Amo Southwest, I Love Southwest exhibit, mm-hmm. that was initiated as a window display project that we had. And we had these photos provided by and taken by local artists Eric Howard and Lisa Luebanus of the community in Southwest Detroit, and they were in different vacant spaces, and the goal was to beautify those vacant storefronts and also to attract new tenants. So
mm-hmm.
we were able to do that with two of the spaces. So that's how we started, and then we decided to bring that exhibit to the atrium, and from there we were having 3-2 exhibits every year. That was part of, you know, me working with my design
mm-hmm.
background and communications, and I love art, and I love working with artists, and that is a very important component of what we do
mm-hmm.
in Southwest Detroit. The public art that is being done by artists, local artists, to beautify the area. We have the benches here that were created. I don't know, you saw them outside next to the parking
yeah.
lot. That by Vito Valdez and Mary Herbeck. And then we have also the space frames that Vito Valdez is working on. And he has done a couple of murals. And then we have that is more like a sign, but that mural was done by an artist that was hired by the property owner, State Farm, but we have mm-hmm. other murals from people from also the area, and artists coming from New York, originally from Chile. So basically we wanted to use a beautiful space that we had to promote the area,
mm-hmm.
The culture and the local artists, and to attract visitors. So every time we had an exhibit, we probably had around 80-100 people coming. So it was a very successful project. Right now we are not doing it. We had some of the photos of the Yo Amo Southwest. I don't know if you saw them, but you can go on the second floor.
Yeah.
But right now we're not doing any exhibits like we did in the past. And because I found myself doing also dad running like the space, like a gallery, art gallery, mm-hmm. and working with other artists, I realized that now I feel like I could go back to fashion design.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like I did my part.
Interesting.
And that I am allowing myself to do that.
Right.
And we have a project that is coming. There is the exhibit for Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo at the DIA.
Mm-hmm.
So they are working with different galleries and organizations around the city where they are going to link the exhibit that's from March, I believe, to July, to happenings around the city. And I was invited to create a small fashion collection. Yes. So I'm going to be working on that on the side. And I have been thinking that maybe it's time for me to start my own business without leaving the organization.
Right.
I don't think that would be a smart move, especially after what I have learned, you know, with the entrepreneurial training and small business technical assistance, every step you have to take, you know. But it's something that I would like to do. Continue working here. I really think that this is my place in Detroit. I have been attracted to other jobs and by offered by different organizations, but I always go back to the fact that I can use I can use my Spanish here and my cultural background, and I can serve this community because we don't need more people than like me here and going out and working with the business property owners, and I don't think we have enough.
Right.
Hopefully we can change that soon. And it's because, again, you have many people, young people coming, interns, and then they graduate and they probably are not from Detroit, or they sometimes don't, even if they are from Detroit, want to go other places.
Right, right.
Yeah. But that would be my near future. As a long-term goal, I am not sure if I will stay in Detroit because I want to be close to my family, so my plan is to go to Texas. I don't know when.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I also want to not just do the design part. I also want to improve myself professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Probably go back to school.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, just looking at your career, I think it's been... You've spent time and grew at each position, and then you seem to be on this trajectory of doing greater things and greater things as you keep going. So I think that's really, really fascinating to kind of hear your future thoughts. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I think that would be all.
Okay.
I have traveled a lot.
Yeah? What was the favorite place that you visited?
Italy, I really liked Italy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in Rome, but I also was on the Tuscany area, Barga and Lucca. Those are historic towns, have been designated historic towns, and it's very nice. But I also was in London.
Mm-hmm.
I went there for to the Central Saint Martin College of Art for a summer class, and it was nice. Vienna, Austria was a nice, really clean city. But if you ask me where I want to go back to visit, that would be Italy. I also was in Rome and Nashville and Austin, and I didn't like country music. But I learned to love country music when I was there. It's so cool.
Right.
You know, the district and all the bars and live music. People are very talented there. It is so cool, and they are very welcoming. And Austin is a cool city in Texas.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Yeah. But
Well, great. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much. This has been really interesting.
Sure.
And I will get all this information to you as soon as possible so you can look it over. And I might have to email you for spellings and names as well.
All right.
But then the last question I wanted to ask you is if you would be able to provide maybe some pictures, too, of some of the things we talked about, some of the facade improvements, mm-hmm. Or some of the, like, maybe the atrium project, if there's pictures.
Yeah, you know what? Something I didn't talk about mm-hmm. is the Hispanic Business Conference.
Okay, sure.
We implemented that in 2009, and it was targeted to Spanish-speaking entrepreneurs, and we partnered with other organizations. So we did it for 4 years. It was a great project. We had many people coming, entrepreneurs and established businesses from the area and from outside, looking for assistance in Spanish. And English, too. We were offering that. It was a bilingual conference. So I think that was something that it was needed. And we have a great presence, people attending the conference, the support of other institutions in Detroit as partners, and we were able to provide the technical assistance and referrals and tools to many entrepreneurs that, are in need of these programs in Spanish, but they cannot find them any mm-hmm. other place.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. I'll be in contact.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed this.
I hope so. I'm not sure.